Hey, we're on. Morning, folks.
So, guys, we're about to start here.
We're ready, brother.
Okay. You're on.
Hey, good morning. This is Scott Mitchell. If you're new, this is a program we call Let the Bible Speak. That's kind of what our mantra has been from the beginning, to try to get people to read the Bible and simply do what it says. We've been doing this, I think this is show number 48, if I remember right, which is kind of crazy as well. I'm here with a guy named Chris Sanders. I'll let him introduce himself in a second. Far as contact information, we like to go through that at the beginning. Of course, we're on Facebook Live. There's a radio app called Listen to My Radio app. You can get on your phone and listen. Some people are doing that. We have a website called Let the Bible Speak.faith that you can also go on. All the Theron Hall has loaded up all the shows to there. You can listen to those, and he edits all the ums out and everything. Sounds really good. So he does a great job there. Yeah, it does, Theron. Don't look like that. And the effort's much appreciated. And of course, you can always call us. The phone number here is 812-365-9864. And I'm going to try to say that several times during the show. And Bill, I promise I'm going to get my board up on Make It Today. The phone number is going to be on the table next week, so I won't have to be reminded to say it. We're going to talk about unity today. And before we start, I'm going to let Chris introduce himself. Spelled K-R-I-S, by the way, not C-H-R-I-S like I spelled it the first time on Facebook. So why don't you just tell us who you are, where you've been, what you've been doing, that sort of thing.
All right. Well, again, my name is Christopher Sanders. I'm an evangelist. I work at the Eastland Church of Christ. And if you don't know where it is, it's located at 4909 Bardstown Road. And we'd love to have you come out and worship with us if you have opportunity. Our Bible study begins at 9:30 a.m. On Sunday morning, and then our evening worship service starts at 10:30 a.m. and p.m. our evening worship is at 5, and we'd love for you all to come out and worship with us if you have opportunity. And also, up and coming, we have a gospel meeting starting April the 14th through the 19th, and me and Dan will be the key speakers for a series of lessons about the foundations. Good. And so we look forward to that, and we want to invite you out if you can and support the gospel meeting coming in April.
Excellent.
So I'm an evangelist at Eastland, and haven't been preaching too long. Been preaching for about 3.5, almost 4 years.
That's 5.5 or 6 years combined experience.
There you go.
So there we go.
So criticisms, just keep them at a minimal.
You will get a luck.
But, no criticisms,
yeah,
I bet.
Yeah, but been doing this for about that long, and yeah, it's just been nothing short of a blessing.
Yeah.
I worked with the Shively congregation for 3 years, and then it was time to move on to a different work, and God created an opportunity for me providentially to work with a wonderful group of individuals. I really love the congregation there. They've been very welcoming.
And we love you, Chris.
Love you too. They've been very welcoming to me and my family,
yeah,
and it's just been a wonderful, wonderful experience, and to work alongside Dan. I can't
he's a good guy.
not fail to mention him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I think about Dan, it's kind of like the My Buddy song. They used to, you remember that, My Buddy?
Yeah, My Buddy.
My Buddy, yeah, and me.
You know, I could never work there as an evangelist, because I can't grow a beard.
Well, yeah.
I couldn't fit in. I could shave my head,
yeah,
but I can't grow a beard. So anyway.
So...
are you a lifer? Like, were you raised in a church? Did you come to church later?
I was raised in a church. I was in Memphis,
okay,
Tennessee. I went to a congregation named South.
Okay.
South Church of Christ, and we was in the south part of Memphis, and grew up in the church my whole life, and wanted to become an evangelist.
Okay.
But you know, as you get older, you go through life, and I tried to do the next best thing, where I could kind of keep one foot in the world,
yeah,
and then in the church. So I said, I'm going to education.
Yeah.
So I went in education, and I taught for quite some time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What'd you teach?
Elementary education.
Elementary. Yeah. I've got an elementary degree.
Yeah.
Middle school.
Yeah, K through 6.
Yeah.
And so then went back and got my master's degree.
Yeah.
And so I taught for a little while, and it was great, wonderful experience.
Yeah.
And so I thought that maybe I could implement some Christian principles, but still kind of have my freedom without... the acknowledgement of the responsibility that we all have,
yeah,
as believers. But ultimately, I came to the understanding of this is what I really need to be doing, mm-hmm. and that is preaching and teaching the gospel, doing so in love, and leading people to Christ. Yeah. And it's been nothing but a wonderful, wonderful
ride. Yeah, kind of being dragged that way, it's kind of hard to resist it, ain't it? And I kind of feel the same way a lot of ways.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, I'm like...
My dad always tells me, you can volunteer or be voluntold. Yeah. So I just rather volunteer.
Yeah. So... That's good. And, you know, that's, you know, what happened with me. I always thought I would retire from teaching and then come evangelize this area. You know, I'd do it on my time.
Right.
And God's like, no.
Nope.
No, you're gonna go now. And so it's kind of happened that way. And it's been really, again, it's been a blessing. And it's forced me to grow in ways that I wouldn't have otherwise. Right. So,
well, I'd like to thank you first for allowing me to come on, man, and to have me. I know I'm not, you know. Well,
thanks for making the hour trip over. I appreciate it.
I've been looking forward to this. I've been trying to get here for quite some time, and so I just want to thank you for that, brother.
Well, as far as the topics, it's on unity.
Right.
That you asked, we talked about unity.
Yes,
I'm like, hey, that's cool. And so on the surface, I mean, looking at us, you know, there's people can't tell a lot of difference outside that you've got a beard. And I found out you used to teach.
Yeah.
So that's cool. But, you know, we're unified in ways that people can't see.
Right.
And the foundation is there.
Yeah.
And so when we meet, it's like we're instant best friends. It's crazy what Christianity does.
Yeah.
So what aspects of this idea did you have in mind? Because I've got a page and a half of notes that, you know, what did you have in mind as far as where you want to start? I know you mentioned what they had in the Old Testament when things were
unified
really good,
right?
And you know how good it really was. So where do you want to go first?
Well, ultimately, I think right now in our country alone, I don't think we could be any more divided.
You're kind of right about that.
And but my concern as an evangelist is I see where we are in the world and how the world is divided, especially in this country. Mm-hmm. But my major concern is the division within God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I read, the more I study, the more I learn, has never been the intent.
No.
The intent has always been from the beginning that we are in agreement mm-hmm. with one another, especially in the household of faith. Yeah.
And I told you I'd interrupt you sometimes, but
okay.
That I have found has been a big obstacle, which those are some of the things I wanted to talk about at some point on the show were obstacles to people finding the truth. Now, a lot of times people say, well, morning, Simon and Teresa. Simon commented on my hair last week. is that division amongst the churches? People say, well, who's right and who's wrong? How do you know? And so they just don't bother trying to figure it out.
Right.
And so that division makes it harder for us to teach people.
Right.
Because they don't think they don't see one truth.
Right.
They see several, they think are several truths. How do you know which one's the right one?
Right.
And that's absolutely a huge issue for us.
Oh, man. I mean, and so the one thing that I was thinking about is how much more can we get accomplished together? Now, I know we've all heard the saying, together we stand, divided we fall, but that is a truthful statement.
Did you ever coach?
I did.
What'd you coach?
Basketball.
Did you ever have practice before the games?
Like right before?
I mean, like, did you maybe a month or so before the game start practicing? Why did you practice?
Because we needed to have a sense of togetherness. Because ultimately, the common goal is to win games.
Mm-hmm.
In order to get there, you have to have a plan of action.
Mm-hmm.
And once the plan of action is put in place, you have to have people who are willing to put that plan into action to meet that goal.
And what if you put somebody in a game that doesn't want to play the way you practiced? What happens?
Well, there's a lot of confusion.
And my point, we didn't talk at this. I didn't tell him I was going to do that because I've coached basketball for 18, 20 years.
Right.
And it's a beautiful thing to see a team work together.
Oh, man.
And fit the plan.
Yeah.
And stay with that.
Yeah.
That system, whatever a coach puts in, if it's a good system, the system works.
Right.
They're all different systems, but as long as you stay in the system, it works. This is really not any different.
No.
It's really not.
It's kind of like Joel Embiid and the 76ers sticking to the process.
Yeah.
There's a process that we all have to go through, but we have to have the faith to see it through because the heavy lifting has been done.
Yeah.
And what we need to do is be able to see it through. And so I think that if we get that in our minds that, man, being in agreement is a powerful thing, it can take the ordinary
mm-hmm.
and catapult it into the extraordinary.
Yeah.
And I think when you implement God in the midst of it, that's when it becomes extraordinary, and you can just do immeasurable things that you could never think of. And so I was going into Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 30. And
just read that. We're reading through Deuteronomy now in our yearly study at Galena. By the way, if you're just joining us, this is a program called Let the Bible Speak, and we're studying unity this morning. If you want to get your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 2, or flip or slide on your phone.
32.
Or, what'd you say? Deuteronomy 2, right?
32.
I said, I don't know why I said 32. Deuteronomy chapter 2 is where Chris is going if you want to read along with us. So, folks, if you want to call in, anything we say, corrections, comments, whatever. Slight criticisms, right?
Yep.
Slight.
Keep it easy.
812-365-9864. What's that? Deuteronomy 30?
32.
You going 32?
Yep.
I thought you said 2. Deuteronomy 32. Go ahead, brother.
And it's just, I just want to read verse 30. And the reason why is because, again, ordinary to extraordinary. Mm-hmm. How can one have chased 1,000 and two have put 10,000 into flight? Unless their rock has sold them and the Lord had given them up. Now, what I want to focus on is one could have chased 1,000, but two have put 10,000 to flight. Now, in unity, and I'm not a wonderful math major. That wasn't.
My wife's staring is.
So that's not my area. But what I can add, and what I see here is what he says. He says, how can one chase 1,000? He could do that. But two can then put away 10,000. Ordinary to extraordinary. Now, you have two men from two different backgrounds, but have the understanding that togetherness in Christ, implementing the plan that has already been put into place, how effective can we be preaching and teaching the gospel in love and winning souls?
It's interesting we read on in that, because it says, unless their rock has sold them, for their rock is not our rock.
Right.
Our rock, our foundation. That's Isaiah 26:3-4 has become my newest favorite Bible verse. It just stuck with me. Because it says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose heart is stayed on you, for you, O Lord, are an everlasting rock.
Right.
And that, as long as we stay there on that foundation, the unity's automatic.
Yeah.
It has to be.
It's kind of like,
that's cool.
That's kind of like what you said, you know, the reason why there's a camaraderie, there's a connection, because, you know, a lot of people talk about fellowship, and I know that's a whole nother subject within itself, but what is true fellowship? Like, what does that mean? That's the same goal in mind, right? With the same end goal. So the goal in mind is to preach and teach the gospel to every man, woman, and child, and while make sure that I'm taking care of myself in the process and winning souls.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're doing that, then we're growing. And so I just think that it's important for us to continue to do that. But the camaraderie is that, the fellowship, the mindset is that I know who your God is, what you believe, what the goal is, and where you ultimately want to end up. Never grow up where you grow up.
You in heaven.
Right. So whether we look alike, or whether we talk alike, or we come from the same background, none of that matters besides what has been put in place. Because we're on the same team, playing for the same coach, trying to get the championship, which is heaven.
Just playing by the same rules.
That's it.
Yep.
So
it's cool.
I think that that's important. I just think the unity, we need to get back to those major principles of unity, because that's what it's going to take where we are right now in society. Because again, we're trying to win people who don't know him, and people who may have fell away, or people, like you said, a heathen who's never heard. And it's important for us to show them the unity in us if we're trying to win them. If they're in a place that's divided, they're in a place where we're dealing with racism and bigotry and politics and all types of things. We have to be unified.
Which is what they're in now.
Right.
And we've got to show them there's something better.
That's right.
And you know, that there, I don't have time with everything I'm trying to accomplish with this.
Right.
I don't have time to worry about a lot of those little details.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to get Bible studies and, you know, be the right kind of dad, right kind of husband, and raise my, you know, and all those things. And all that stuff doesn't really fit. There's no time for bigotry. There's no time for racism. There's no time for that stuff.
Right.
Because God's got us busy.
Right.
And what I find, you know, the people that are out there that are into those things really don't have anything else to do.
Right.
They don't understand what they can have if they come join the team.
Right.
And that's, we've got to show people that.
You know, so. It's funny that you mention that, because when I think about, in terms of teams, mm-hmm. the individuals who come in early, stay late, study film, are the most productive ones on the team. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones they look to as leaders or are veterans on the team. So what does that say about our work ethic? We need to get up early, pray, read. We need to stay up late if we need to read and pray and do the things that we need to do. And we need to study the film, which is the word of God, and implement it in every way so that we can be leaders, not only for the world, but even in the team. And we just need that. What comes to mind when I was thinking about it was Philippians.
Yeah. Philippians 2.
Yep. Yep. You the man, but the master
also
plan.
In my notes.
You read it from?
Sure, you want. I've got 2 and 3.
Go ahead. Well, you can express the point that.
Well, we'll start in verse 1 with Philippians chapter 2. It says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, which sounds like unity,
right?
Any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And I don't know, what I noticed when I went through some of these unity verses is mm-hmm. how many times it mentions humility and putting others first.
Right.
And a lot of the verses include those things. FM audio was, we were, by the way, a little bit concerned about the radio when we got here, but Theron says it's working just fine. So that's great. So Rheta, if you're on this morning, God bless you. She normally listens every week. So anyway, that idea of humility and selflessness
right.
shows up in a lot of these unity verses that I was going through. That I don't know what you wanted to bring out of that.
Oh no, but it is. It's a constant theme, mm-hmm. and a lot of things and words are used over again. And I think it's to drive home the point.
Yeah.
And I, you know, there's so many things that the devil does. You know, that, you know, it's countless directions we can go when we're talking about.
Buddy of mine says he's not good, but he's good at what he does.
Right.
So that's
absolutely. And so, what would be one of the major components that he could attack that would cause division? And that is agreement. If we're not in agreement, we're going to have problems. Is that not something that we can look at when we're talking about marriage in the home? When the husband and the wife are not in agreement, that causes confusion and division in the home. You know, if we are doing that in the church, you just look at all of the partnerships and the connections where if you're not in agreement, how dangerous it could be.
And that humility thing, you know, once he gets a prideful person, he can rip it apart.
Oh, man.
and that's what even marriage and marriage relationships.
Yes.
School relationships, yep. Work relationships, whatever. Once you get a prideful person involved, they rip the unity out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, again, that's, he's very good at finding, and that we have to be really careful and know our weaknesses,
right?
And watch, because I, you know, I could be a prideful person.
Yeah.
You may not.
We all can.
Theron probably knows that, but it'd be easy for me to look at people, and I've got to guard against that. And a lot of, you know, again, it's a common, I think it's for most humans, it's kind of a common theme.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, that I've been studying with people, and the thing that separate, and it's interesting in my year and a half of El Bethel, how much more clear it came, that the idea of the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth,
yeah.
And understanding what that is,
right.
Is huge.
Oh, man, that's major.
Now, the old way of saying that's Bible authority. People say, what do you mean Bible authority? Okay, well, how do we read the Bible? And how does the Bible say we should read the Bible? Right. People don't agree on that.
Right.
And that's what's causing our disunity in the spiritual world, because people read the Bible and say, well, it doesn't say not to do this, so right. It's okay if I do it.
Right.
Well, that causes disunity for people to say, well, the Bible says not to take from or add to it, so how do you... That concept is causing a lot of the disunity.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's... And then you get... Well... my grandpa did this.
Right.
My grandma, why? How are you? We're going to condemn them? I'm not looking to condemn that between them and God.
Right.
What do we know the Bible says for us today? And
absolutely.
So that's important. But that's causing a lot of confusion and a lot of disunity.
Yeah. I think if people can grasp this concept that humility is power under control.
Yes.
That's what humility is. That, you know, and if we can look at it from that sense that being humble is a more powerful thing than it ever would be looked upon as a weakness or some kind of deformity or disease that you have,
yeah,
because you're humble enough in ways where you put someone before yourself, meaning their needs, meaning the fact that they may not be as knowledgeable or they weren't raised in the church. And I just think we have to get to a place where we have to remember where we came from.
Yeah.
I'm the type of person, and I'm sure Theron can attest to this, that I don't mind telling my story, because I was a heathen of all heathens in the sense of I forgot, you know,
yeah,
and purposefully, but I forgot. I forgot how good God was. I forgot the unity. I forgot how good it was to be around God's people.
Mm-hmm.
What that meant to be in agreement with a brother who would hold me accountable, that would tell me that I'm wrong or I need to read more, I need to pray more. And we want to get away from that because nobody's going to tell me.
Yeah,
you know what to do.
Well, no man's gonna tell me what to do. I've heard that a lot. Nobody's telling me what to do.
Right.
Well, you can live that way.
Right.
But like you said, there's power. What did Jesus? When Jesus washed the feet.
Oh man, that's humility.
And in that same chapter, in 34 and 35 of John 13, he says, "Now, if you want this right, you love like I've loved you."
Right.
That creates, you know, that. What brought you back?
The dedication of my mom.
Okay.
My mom prayed. Let me tell you, she prayed while I was gone in away at school. She prayed every day that the Lord would make me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That was her prayer. Now protect him, make sure he's okay,
yeah,
don't hurt him, but please make him uncomfortable. And for years, I'm talking about for at least 6 months, I could not sleep. I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't put my finger on it.
That's excellent.
It was rough.
Yeah.
And finally I called my mom and I said, "Listen, I gotta change some stuff. I mean, I've gone so far into the deep end." And so because of her willingness, because she could have easily said, "I'm throwing up my hands. He's an adult now, he's grown."
Mm-hmm.
But the humility that it took for her to say that his situation and circumstances means more, that I'll be willing to pray, I'll be willing to make, I want him to be as uncomfortable as possible so that he won't be separated from God forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just amazing how
prodigal son story came.
Oh man, all the way. But I came back, I came home.
You know, one of the lessons I got from that, when I went, that was the first lesson I did at Bethel, was prodigal son.
Yeah.
And sometimes a big pen is not such a bad place to be.
No. For some people need to go.
I mean, sometimes you got to get there.
My mom,
and that's,
my stepmom used to say this. She says sometimes, because, you know, we want to save everybody, you know, especially our children and people, mm-hmm, just to keep them from hurting themselves. My mom says sometimes you got to let them fall, mm-hmm, and bust their heads.
Look,
not just opening up, but to the white meat. You,
yeah,
know when,
yeah,
when you open it up, you can see that white right,
yeah,
before the,
yeah,
blood,
yeah,
rush in.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it takes that, because when you think about it, what's the movie? The Bodyguard with Kevin Costner,
yeah,
with the water,
yeah,
where they're the life Coast Guard.
Yeah.
I forgot the name of the movie, but what I learned was sometimes when people are drowning, they almost, and their protocol is to wait until the person quits fighting.
Yeah.
To the point that they're almost drowning, so that when I come in the water to get you, there is no resistance, because you're fighting so much, you'll bring both of us down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the concept is, let them go long enough, don't let them die, but till they're
done fighting. Heard that. Yeah.
And so sometimes my mom was at a place where she kept praying, and she said, "You know what, he's fighting. But until he's done fighting, only then I can come in,
yeah, yeah,
and rescue him from what he's dealing with."
No,
so,
that's going to be in a sermon, I guess.
Yeah, let's shift gears now. For okay, those of you who may be listening, or if you want to give this CD to somebody who maybe is out there floundering.
Yeah.
In terms of unity, I was not in a place in life where when I met my future wife,
mm-hmm,
I didn't look like a Christian. I didn't talk like a Christian. I didn't act like a Christian. But God still wanted me.
Yeah.
So if you're out there and you're floundering, like what Chris just talked about and what I've talked about before on the show, understand that you can have this unity too. You cannot be so bad that God doesn't want you. Mm. You can't sin so much that God isn't going to forgive you. You can't be so bad that you won't be welcomed inside a body of God's people.
Yeah.
So in terms of this unity that Chris and I are talking about, you can have that.
Oh, man.
It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, where you're from, what color you are, or whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
You can have the same unity we're talking about.
And that's what, you know, that's one of the wonderful
things. Let me ask you this. How many conversations, long conversations, have we had in our lives together?
This is the first one.
That much, do you understand? We've said hi to one another.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all we've done.
Yeah.
You've hugged?
Yeah. You know, we hugged the other night. And that's it.
I saw you at the wedding, and we talked about a little bit about
what we have. This is the longest conversation we've had.
And you think we've had many?
Yeah.
I'm just,
folks, this works.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's.
I think too that is one of the most important components. If we get nothing else out of this, it is understanding what is on the table that is offered to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the offer still stands no matter your condition, because mm-hmm. you can change that. But I want to caution you, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again. What you tolerate, you cannot change.
That's right.
You know, what you tolerate, you cannot change. And so you have to get to a place where you're done tolerating the lies of Satan, all of the schemes and the plots that he's doing to create in your mind that, one, the first agreement that you should ever go into in is with God, saying that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I will vow to love you and do everything that you've commanded me to do. So when we're talking about agreement, that's how important agreement is, because that's the first one. You have to come to grips with that first and foremost, that I'm in agreement to do what you've commanded me to do, to love like you love me, willing to die to myself and to live for you throughout my life, and in doing so, getting as many people as I can to understand and to love the way that you love me.
You just preached the book of Romans. That's great. but a lot of these unity verses talk about being in Christ.
Yeah.
And that foundation you just laid of being willing, you know, Romans 12, you know, a daily sacrifice of living for somebody else.
Yeah.
And once you get a group of people doing that, it's easy.
Yeah.
And I keep talking about Christianity is not complicated.
It's not.
You know, on paper, it's simple. You know, Jesus, how many times did Jesus say in the book of John, you are my friend if you do my commandments. You know, John 14, 15, John 14, 21, John 14, 23, John 15, 14. Although he just says the same thing over and over and over again. That's as simple as Christianity is.
Right.
Until you put people in there.
Yeah.
And that's when people complicate it, and their attitudes and their pride and their selfish ambitions, that's what messes it. It's not God's plan that causes disunity.
Yeah.
It's our pride
that
causes disunity.
And so, and I just think that we ought to be careful, because the other end of that is when I was thinking about Joshua. And you know, afterwards, you know, the promises that was made, you know, God told him, you know, you do what I say, how I do it, and I got you.
We're halfway done.
Okay.
I'm just saying, we're going fast. Go ahead. I just want to look at the clock and finish your thought, because Theron's going to do a little promo in a second.
Okay.
The hour.
So very quickly, so the flip side of it is we know that when he was obedient, the walls of Jericho, and then he promised them, you go into the land of Ai and you take that over. Well, the agreement that what was you go in and do what I tell you to do, don't take anything out, right? And if you're obedient to what I'm saying, and we're in agreement to what I'm telling you to do, then your life will be easy, all right? So Achan goes in out of not being in agreement, selfish ambition, not willing to be, you have humility. I'm sure he wasn't the only person that saw wonderful, beautiful things and wanted to grab it. I mean, we don't even know if Joshua might wanted to do the same thing.
Yep.
But nevertheless, he did what he did, and because they weren't in agreement, that brought sin into the camp, right?
Mm-hmm.
And He was so upset. He threw a fit. He tore his clothes. Because what you did was, we were promised to win. He told me that all we had to do was be obedient, and we did that. And why did that happen? Because when you have faith and you're in agreement, you don't have this expectation to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he was mad, because the expectation was, I know we're going to win because I'm with God. And when that didn't happen and they weren't in agreement, it brought sin in the camp and it caused all types of confusion from what really needed to happen. So that's the flip side of what it's looking like when we're not in agreement, and then how extraordinary it can be when we are.
Yeah.
You're listening to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak on WBRO 89.9 FM, broadcasting from beautiful Marengo, Indiana.
There it is. If you're just joining us, a program called Let the Bible Speak, like Theron just said. Phone number is 812-365-9864. I'll give you my cell number, but we're using my phone to record with. So if you want to call it later at any time, it's 812-620-4034. And Chris mentioned earlier, he'd love to have you at Eastland, and that's great with me. I don't care. I try to say this every week. I don't care where you are, if you have this CD, or you've listened to radio program, or wherever you are in the country, if you want somebody to study the Bible with you, I know somebody just about everywhere that can study the Bible. If I don't know them, I'll find somebody that does. Mm-hmm. If you need somebody to study the Bible with you, get on Facebook, get on the website, let us know, and we'll find somebody to get them to you.
Mm-hmm.
He knows people in Memphis. I know people over Tennessee. I know people in Springfield, Missouri. A lot of people in Louisville, whatever, Florida. You let me know what you need, and we will make sure you have it.
Yeah.
I don't care. This is about growing the church, not a church. I don't care about that. We just want people to know who God is. So that's what we're trying to do. Talking about unity this morning with Chris, and going through some concept of how important unity is. And how, you know, a lot of the Bible, I don't know where you're going next, but a lot of the Bible verses, speaking, you need to talk about the body and how it's got to work together. You know, the eye didn't do what it's supposed to do and that sort of thing.
Right.
I don't know if you want, are you planning on going there?
I mean, we can.
You still got some notes. I don't want to overdo. You got Matthew 18:20 on there?
Yep.
I think I've got that on my list. Why don't we go there?
Okay. Let's do that. I'm with you.
What do you want to say about that one?
When I put it in, because again, we're talking about unity.
Mm-hmm.
For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. It is say when you're trying to do things in your own, on your own, with selfish ambition, all about you, like you said, trying to build my church, you know, and not focus on growing God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about, I'm there among you. So I feel like that's important, that we understand that unity, even when we come together, when we are gathered together in assembly, what's the purpose of it? You know, you have to start thinking about what ultimately is the purpose. You know, we sing praises to one another, we admonish one another, we're reminded that we're people, we're reminded that we're God's people, we're reminded that this is not easy, but yet it is possible, because anything is possible, right, with God. And so those were kind of my thoughts when I were looking at it in passing, and I was just saying, you know, again, agreement, one of those powerful things that's important that we need to put into practice.
And this needs to be more than saying, you believe in God and I believe in God, and so, hey, we're good.
Right.
There, this in my name, that's a big...
Right.
And that's kind of like those verses say, in Christ. You know, Ephesians 1, in Christ, in Him, over and over and over again.
Right.
What does that mean?
Right.
That's what being in agreement about what God's Word says.
That's it.
And what it commits us to be and to do and to live is what unifies us. It's not that we all acknowledge there's a God.
Right.
We acknowledge that His Word is truth.
That's it.
And so once we, and that's, and again, when you think, I can go down to Marengo and start at State Road 66 and drive all the way past the high school here, all the way to Corydon. There are countless churches.
Yeah.
All of them teaching something different.
Yeah.
Well, which one's right? And that's what's causing the confusion in the world and causing people to not want to find out, because who knows what the right one is.
Right.
That's not being in His name.
Right.
That's not being in Christ.
That's right.
That unity has to come from the foundation of the rock and understanding what God wants for. And there's a lot of, it's kind of weird. I've been reading through, when you go through the Old Testament, how many times did God tell them, you do what I said and how I said to do it? Don't turn from to the right or to the left. Yeah. You do what I say and how I say to do it. If you want to keep the land, if you want to go into the land, right. And once you get there, if you want to keep it, you better do what I say and how I say to do it, or you're going to lose it.
Right.
Why do people today say, really doesn't matter what we do. Just, you know, as long as you believe God, you know, hey, you're good. Where did that even come from? It doesn't make any, it doesn't fit with what, speaking of unity, it doesn't fit what the Bible teaches us.
Right.
When in Romans, you mentioned a living daily sacrifice.
Right.
What do you think that means in a person? You know, Romans chapter 12, I'll go there and read it just so everybody, if you're not familiar with it, says, I appeal, Romans 12, 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Okay, what does that mean in a person's life? Now, here's what I saw one time down here in Marengo. I saw this dude walking down the road with a cross on his back with a wheel on it, and he was dragging that thing down the road. He was bearing his cross, right? He was daily sacrifice, right? Is that what that means?
No.
What does that mean?
It means ultimately presenting yourself, meaning that dying, meaning literally living for God, being a living example for through how you walk, how you talk, you know, you spreading the gospel. It encompasses the characteristics of Christ and you being able to die to the flesh and live spiritually, righteously for Him. Mm-hmm. That alone is a task. You can put as many tires you want to around your neck. You can put a couple center blocks and jump in the ocean and try to swim up. That's fine. But that alone, to me, is a workout within itself, is a sacrifice within itself. And one thing that I also learned, and I've said this before, when we learn how to do what is hard, your life will be easy.
Yes.
When you practice that which is easy, your life will be hard. Mm-hmm. Now, granted that studying the Bible within itself isn't the hard part.
Mm-mm.
Sitting down having conversations with you about the Bible and we going back and forth, whether it's banter or it's some useless conversation, at the end of the day, implementing this right here, a living sacrifice. I am alive and I'm sacrificially dying to all of the foolishness, all of the confusion, all of the false teaching, all of the crazy practices and all the things that the world is doing. That I'm living for God based on what He has told me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that alone is being that sacrifice, and is holy and acceptable when we do it His way.
Yeah. And it sounds simple.
Yeah.
But we have so much confusion causing the disunity because people just aren't willing to do that.
Yeah.
They will say, I had a lady tell me, she brought something up, it's been probably 20 years ago, I was in the lunchroom, and she said something. I said, well, where do you find the authority to do what you do? She goes, oh, we speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where it's silent. I said, I said, you opened this can of worms. So.
Here we go.
I said, I'm not going to bring up the topic. I said, so why do you do, I mentioned, why do you do this in your worship? She goes, well, the Bible doesn't say not to. Did you not just say you're silent where the Bible's silent? She said, that's the problem. People try pretty hard to do, or sometimes try pretty hard. They'll look at what the Bible does say to do, but when you get into things it doesn't say, well, as long as it's good and not hurting anybody, it has to be okay with God.
Right.
Jeremiah 10:23 clearly says that it's not within man to direct his own steps. We can't rely on ourselves to decide what's good and bad.
Right.
Part of that unity is, that, well, all that unity is right here.
Yeah.
It's not, this book is the unity.
Yeah.
And so since we're in Romans 12, let's go down to verse 4.
Okay.
It says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individuals, members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, and we'll stop. I don't want to get into all the spiritual gifts that we can. It's right. Not a big deal. But that idea of the body working together.
Yeah.
And then you go over and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Okay, well, as we turn it, I say something ahead. About that particular verse? You know, a lot of times I know we talk about the different parts and things like that, and I don't think that necessarily it's just
because me and Dan had talked about this. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's just relegated to the church.
Yeah.
You know, me preaching, me singing, you know, it's when we're talking about unity, it's us in every arena. That's you, that's me, it's at school, that's you on the basketball court. It's us being unified by spreading the gospel, mm-hmm. and how we live our life, being that living sacrifice, yeah. and that example.
And again, I think part of the problem is with the people out there not wanting to pursue Christianity as a whole is I think so many times people pigeonhole their lives. I'm a teacher now, so I get to behave this way.
Right.
I'm a dad when I get home, and then I'm a husband, and over here I'm a Christian, and it's like we separate the Christianity from the rest of our lives.
Right.
Folks, Christianity is not a part.
Right.
It is who and what we are. It's our whole identity.
It is the part.
All of the time.
Yeah.
Whether we're at the Walmart checkout lane,
yep.
Driving in traffic, at home with the kids, wherever we are, and that idea will unify. It's not a part of who we are. It is who right. we are.
That's it.
And so we can't separate our lives out.
I like that.
That creates disunity even in our own lives.
Right.
And we can't live that. We can't be one thing here and another thing over here and expect people to follow us where we're going.
Right.
It isn't going to work.
You know, as simple as that was, I think that's pretty deep, for the simple fact that I think that it is the idea that many people have that Christianity is something I can turn off and on. Mm-hmm. I turn it on Wednesdays, I turn it on Sundays. But all these other times, I have to be all these other things, because yeah. these things trump that. I'm a Christian on Wednesday mm-hmm. and Sunday, or when I'm around certain people, yeah. when in fact, I am supposed to be a Christian in every aspect of my life instead of turning it on at certain points in time.
And if we think people don't see that,
yeah.
we are crazy.
Yeah.
You want to talk about hypocrites and why people don't want to follow Jesus?
Yeah.
What are you doing with your life?
Yeah.
I think that's a big piece of this, and getting people to understand there is one truth.
Yeah.
There is a faith we can find.
Who thinks God doesn't see that? Let's right. be honest.
I don't know. And that's hard for people to, you know, that concept of God being everywhere, that's hard for people to, you right. know. I wasn't anti-God growing up, but I didn't really think about God.
Yeah.
And so as I was living my life, I just, you know, I mean, we lived in the middle of nowhere down. I couldn't do a whole lot when I was a kid because we had 80 acres and some trees and a pond and a basketball goal. So my brother and I, we played basketball to maybe 100, or played hippopotamus or something. The longest word we could think of to spell, we'd go fishing, we'd ride our bikes, we'd climb trees. That's all we had to do.
Right.
But as I got older, and you know, but we didn't think about God in any of what we were doing. We never. Right. I wish I'd taken the time to look at nature and understand yeah. there's something really big going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's a beginning. That's a foundation. You know, my kids are growing. When we go out planting a garden, I love the smell of tilled soil.
Yeah.
And we go out and plant a garden. We talk about, you know, we raised goats. We talked about the miracle of birth and all those. You know, my kids have they've just been soaked in it.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
But I never thought about God. And I think there's a lot of people out there who are living their lives. Yeah, they're being decent people. They're going to work.
Right, right.
They're coming home. They're being decent people. They're right. paying their bills. They're paying their taxes. Right. God, you know, that's awful, but we're paying our taxes.
Yeah.
But God's not in the picture.
Yeah.
And so they're lost and they're floundering.
Yeah.
And that's where midlife crisis has come from. That's where divorce comes from. Middle-aged people, that's because they're lost. They don't know where they're going.
Right.
They're doing the right things, but they're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
We've got to help them find the comfort.
Hey.
They're lost. They feel like they're on islands. They need the unity that we, you know. I have these people retire and they got nothing to do.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't wait. I got so much to do. I can't wait to retire. I've got way much. I got more to do than I can get to now. Working, you know, trying to get things done for people where it comes to God.
Yeah.
And so people need a purpose. They don't have a purpose.
Yeah.
Well, jobs aren't going to do it. When you hate your job and you retire from your job and you sit at home in the chair and you got nothing to do. What is your life?
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
So people are just floundering without God.
Yeah.
And we got to be louder.
You know, it's funny. I mean, you kind of touched on a lot of things, but...
I usually touch on that.
but one of the things you said was about being a follower of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And being in Him and being a lover of God. Like, I love Him. I literally love Him. That alone gives you purpose. You know, if you just took everything, you just knocked everything off the table and said, I just want to focus on the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. If all of us just stopped working right now and focus on the Great Commission, we all would be around here so busy we wouldn't know what to do with ourselves.
Don't have time to worry about
anything. Nothing else. But this, because this alone takes up the majority of what I mean, because this is what I do. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about evangelizing, we're talking about gospel meetings, we're talking about radio programs, we're talking about my family that I must, you know, preach and teach to and study with as well. You think about all those things, the people I'm on my job with. So when people say, well, this concept, well, God, you know, I can't imagine him being everywhere, but I can. And the reason why I can is because if he is here and all of us, he's everywhere.
Yeah, he is.
You know what I mean? Yeah. If we're all doing what we're supposed to do, he's everywhere, because you love me and I love you. There is no racism. Mm-hmm. There is no hatred. There is no killing and murder, because we're too busy trying to carry out his purpose and his plan, and nothing else matters.
That idea of if you're a Christian, you're going to work and you aren't thinking about evangelism,
right?
You're going to work for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
If you're riding a bus and you're in Louisville and you're riding your bus between stops, you're not thinking about evangelism, you're riding the bus for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
We've got to be thinking, this is not your job.
Right.
It's not Dan's job.
Right.
It's our job.
That's it.
And when I go to work, I'm thinking, now granted, I teach emotional handicapped kids, and sometimes I lose my focus, but I go there thinking I'm going to influence somebody for good today.
Yeah.
And I'll, you know, end up going by somebody Bible study, we'll have a spiritual conversation at lunch, or we'll do something.
Right.
Because I've got I'm going to work for God. I'm not going to work for those, I'm going for the kids, but the big picture is, what can I do for God today?
Right.
If we're not doing that, then we're going to be just like those people out there in the world who don't know God at all.
Right.
And we're going to be lost and confused. Why am I here? And there is no unity in that.
Right.
And it's just, anyway, I mentioned 1 Corinthians 12, or just as the body, same kind of idea, just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So if we're all out doing that,
right?
If I go to work and Theron's going to work, and whatever you do during your day working, well, I don't know, you know, Andy Cantrell never works. He's a minister. I don't know if you know him or not. Have him down for a gospel meeting if you have, but don't know. He never works in the church building.
Yeah.
He goes out to coffee shops with his computer, and he has something up where people ask him why he's studying his Bible. He's out studying his Bible in public to be around people. He's out around people.
Right.
Same purpose.
Right.
If we're doing that and we get together, hey, who'd you talk to today? You know, what did you do? Theron, who did you talk to today? What are we going to do tomorrow? And if we hold each other accountable that way, that's going to be unity the way God wants it.
And that's it. So, again, we're talking about from ordinary to extraordinary. Yes. Wouldn't it not be an extraordinary thing that here you have, wherever you go, people talking about Christ, people talking about God. Like, I can just go to Walmart and I don't see the local, average Walmart person, you know, with the clothes and how we, you know, how they have the stuff that you get at Walmart. But when you go to Walmart now, this person is saying, man, you know, I was reading in the Bible today, just the average person. I was reading in the Bible today. You know, or my son got baptized, and this is every conversation. Somebody's checking you out at the Longhorn, and they say, you know, man, I was reading in Matthew, and let me tell you what God did for me. And then everywhere you go, that's all we do. That's all we talk about. That is the extraordinary that I'm talking about when we're saying unity.
Yeah, but Chris, nobody wants to stand out like that.
That would make us
different.
Wouldn't it? You mean like a peculiar?
Yeah,
type
peculiar.
Of
people? I don't want to be weird, though. But you know, here's what happened to us. And I got, you know who J.R. Brunger is?
Yes.
I was at preacher training last summer in Illinois, and he's one of the things he does to get Bible studies and just include people in his life. And he asked the waitress when at restaurants if they'll pray with him.
Yeah.
We were at Cracker Barrel at Corridon, and the first time I did this, it blew my mind. This little gal, she had this great big round platter, and she said some stuff, and I said, hey, sweetie, we're getting ready to pray over our food. Would you like to pray with us?
Yeah.
She went into a panic mode trying to figure out where to put her tray down. She ran to the kitchen and ran back out and squatted down beside the table and held my wife's hand and my son's hand and prayed with us. Yeah. It blew her away.
Yeah.
we included her in our Christianity.
There you go.
And she thanked us like 3 or 4 times before we got out of that place that we did that with her.
Yeah.
Folks, people are looking.
Yeah, man.
They're looking for what we have.
Yeah, man.
And they don't know how to find it, and they're scared of it. But if we are out there talking, like you're talking about, we will find these people.
Oh, man. I mean,
and they will come.
Yeah. I mean, it may put a lot of you authors and all these wonderful people who have these self-help books, and there's nothing wrong with self-help books and trying to better yourself.
It's
but
right
the
here.
The best self-help book that I've ever picked up and read was the Word of God, the infallible Word of God. And like you said, there are people who are wanting this.
They're dying for it. They don't know what they're looking for.
Right.
But they're looking.
Yeah.
Then you look like you wouldn't say something. You all right? He sometimes get that look on his
that's
face.
That's all right.
But anyway, that's this idea that of unity. It's kind of like the idea of evolution and creation we tried to introduce last week. That's so big. Yeah. We can't really, you know, you talk about unity. We can spend a show talking about unity in the home.
Yeah.
Unity in the church.
Yes.
And unity in the van on the way to church and all those sort of things. You know, sometimes it's like we've invited Satan in the van with us on the way to church.
Yeah.
You know, people.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it's, we've got to think about these things and teach our kids to be purposeful about these things.
Yeah.
But if we're purposeful about thinking about this and how can we encourage our brothers, how can we help, you know, encourage people to do more and be out. I used to we'd have these business cards we hand out, and I'd go up to some guys at church and say, tell you what, guys, if I hand out 4 between services, they can you all do 2?
Right.
And so Kyle Dowling one time, he said, I'll do it. And he was at a gas station. I love gas pumps. I mean, because people pull in and out, you know, I can check my gas, but go on, go clean my windshield. Different cars, you know, every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So he's at the gas pump, and this guy in this nice car pulls up. He doesn't say anything. Kyle says, I don't care. I'm talking to the next person that pulls up. I'm going to talk to him. Guy all tattooed on a motorcycle pulls up. Guess who he talked to? That guy.
Yeah.
He put himself in an uncomfortable situation, right. But he did it.
Yeah.
So we could come back and talk about that, and that created more unity with us.
Yeah.
And all that it's just being a Christian and trying to do things the right way is going to create a harmony in our lives. We don't have time to worry about. I've seen people lead church over what color the curtains were somebody put up.
Yeah.
Who has time for something that silly?
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Put burlap up. I don't care. Let's worship God, you know, and not worry about those little things. But again, that's selfish pride and things that come in that hinders us from really loving people like we're supposed to love people. And that's really, when you get down to it, really that love is the foundation of all that we do. That love of Christ. You know, when we talk about one of the images that really got me when we read Leviticus, and Tom Holly talked about it at a gospel meeting in New Salisbury. When a person made a sacrifice in Leviticus chapter 1, it's an image of them bringing their animal. I always pictured the priest doing the sacrifice.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But he said, you put your hand on the animal.
Mm-hmm.
You put your hand on that animal's head, and then you cut its throat. Dude, that's personal.
Yeah.
And if we can get that picture of God doing that for us,
mm-hmm.
and understand how much God really loves us, the unity will come.
Amen.
And we've got to just get past the hang-ups and just get moving.
Yeah.
And there's so many things hindering us from doing it, and there shouldn't be there. We just got to get the roadblocks out of the way. But again, lots of topics. What else you got over there?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I just kind of rolled with that. I forgot that it was a long show.
I'm just we're almost done.
30 minutes.
Yeah.
But I would like to say, in reference to this whole idea about unity, that I want us to remember. And not forget that a lot of people who are searching don't know who they are.
Yeah.
And they identify with everything else,
mm-hmm.
but the one thing that they need to identify themselves with,
mm-hmm.
that's why fashion designers are so great. I want to identify myself looking like Calvin Klein or mm-hmm. whatever the Calvin Klein model looks like, and you know, Maybelline models and all these people that we try to identify ourselves with. I mean, why would you need what do they call those PR?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you need a PR person? Right? The best PR person that you should have
It's God. Because I'm basing my life and how I act and what I say and what I do on the word of God.
That Mark Twain quote.
Yeah.
Two greatest days in a person's life. The day they're born and the day they find out why.
Yeah.
Who are we?
Right.
It's really big.
Yeah.
In John 17, verse 23. And this is the unity. This is a picture of it. John 17, verse 23 says, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as I loved you. When we get in Christ to the point where he was with God, you know, Galatians 2:20,
yeah.
I've been crucified with Christ.
Right.
It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Right.
When we get there, we'll never get there. If we continually work to get there,
right.
if we're all doing that and trying to get that picture of unity in our minds, I mean, what's that saying? The world's our oyster. I mean, we can do whatever we can accomplish, like you said. There's a quote on the Conference Room at School. I think it's by Margaret Mead. It says, never doubt that a small group of committed people can change the world.
Yeah.
Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has.
I like that.
And if we're going to commit to this, if we're going to change the world, and we do it one house at a time, and we're all working towards that, unity will not be a problem.
Right.
Because we're going to do it by what this thing says.
Right.
And it's really simple.
You know, that's funny you say that. Because when you think about it, it was Christ and the disciples.
Small group of committed people.
And they got it done.
Yep.
So what could we really do with the immense amount of people who proclaim their love for God, be in unison, how effective that we can be.
Yeah. The first thing we got to do is get people to proclaim their love.
Yeah.
If they're proclaiming it, it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
We cannot be ashamed of it.
Yeah.
We cannot be afraid of it.
Yeah.
We cannot be cautious about it.
Yeah.
We can't worry about those things.
Right. You're right. I mean, because, I mean, when it came to me getting down on one knee, to ask my wife to marry me and spend the rest
were
of my
life. Were you nervous then, too?
Oh, man.
He was talking about how nervous he was before the show.
I had a bottle of Pepsi.
That's great.
But again, I profess that. You know, the things that people go through to profess or proclaim their love for an individual who hadn't died for them, who had made an ultimate sacrifice.
What have they really done?
Right. And again, we love them, and I have my reasons, and you have your reasons. But what's the main reason why we should be loving God and being in unity, right? And are we not willing to get on our knees and proclaim our love and profess our love for him by living it out every single day?
It's simple.
And the unity that it'll bring, man. I'm just so tired of this division. I'm so tired of this separation. I don't know what to do. That is my prayer.
Well, it's just a good start.
This is my prayer that we can get this thing together.
Yeah.
I just think that it was never the intent from the beginning. I know that, you know, sin and men muddy the waters and do what they do. But let's just get back to the basics, the foundations. And again, if you have an opportunity, because I know we're coming to a close here, I again want to invite everyone out April 14th, because we have a special series of lessons about the foundation, the cornerstone of how this thing should be and how it should be running for us as a people and God's people in his kingdom. Yeah. So again, I just want to invite you all out. And before, you know, we go into all the formalities, I want to say thank you again, brother, for having me on and bringing me out to the middle of nowhere. But I'm looking forward to some donuts at the, shout out to the, what's it, the Honey Hive?
I got a confession to make.
Happy Hive. Happy Hive.
I told Evan I wasn't going to say this. I went last night to Salem and got some donuts from H&R.
H&R,
I left them at the house. I forgot to bring them. I got enough to share, and I didn't bring them.
And we're talking about unity.
And we're talking about unity. I felt so bad. I did. I bought cinnamon twists, cinnamon rolls, and...
Their apple fritters are the dive.
They had brand new ones last night, just off the glazer, Theron.
They're always sold out whenever we...
Oh, no, they had trays of them. Hey, they were hot steaming.
And shout out to my people at Olden Woods, because they know how much I love Krispy Kreme.
I've had people send me some
gift cards. I love you guys.
Krispy Kreme doesn't hold a candle to these donuts.
Yeah. What? You got to prove it to me.
Okay, come over tonight at 10.
That's a challenge, buddy.
Come over tonight at 10, and we'll drive up there. there because they make them about 10 o'clock for the third shift comes in and starts making. Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling. Anyway,
I thought they sprayed a little bit of magic on them Krispy Kreme.
No, they don't hold a candle.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry about the disunity on that.
Yeah, sorry. See, he needs to take us to Happy Hive, and he needs to buy us the homemade donuts there.
I'll do that.
All this teasing us about H&R.
Oh man. Anyway, tell you what. I forgot to give the phone number out again several times. I got to get that signed up for people. So put it on the table for next week. But look, folks, I don't know if you can tell it or not. Theron has really no reason to come out here an hour from home, except they want to share God's word with you. No, that's the only reason.
Absolutely, yeah.
I didn't pay them. Radio station doesn't pay us.
You mean we're not getting paid?
We're here.
It's almost a year. We're still not getting
paid. We are here for one reason only. We want you to know what we know, and I don't know enough.
Yeah. Amen to that.
But I want you to know that the Bible is open to everybody. And you know, I normally attend over at Galena most of the time.
Yeah.
In Galena, Indiana, at the Church of Christ over there. But I'm down here, so I'm trying to help people get places once in a while.
Yeah.
I'll bring dates for. We've got gospel meetings coming up too. We'll bring those dates and get those advertised. I'll try to find some for local churches because there are people going to get these from all over the place.
Yeah.
We just want people to know who God is, and that's gonna bring the unity that we need to do. I know I've got a lot of things we didn't talk. We didn't go to Ephesians 4 or Psalm 133:1 or any of that. We got a lot. Maybe I'll do another show about unity some other time and get back to some of these things. But we've got a group of people, at Galena and Eastland and other places that've been very supportive of when I was at El Bethel. The unity was clear.
Yeah.
We had our first singing. I think the most people that ever had out there was 41 people.
Yeah.
We had 140 some odd people show up for a singing out here in the middle of nowhere.
Amen.
Yeah. Melvin brought a lot of people from the West End. Mm-hmm. And Eastland brought a lot, Galena brought a lot of people. Memphis, Brother Purdy up there brought a lot of people with him. And
there were
people from all over. We had 14 congregations represented at our singing out there.
That unity, what
they wanted for everybody was what that group brought with them was what they wanted everybody at El Bethel to have is that unity of knowing who God is, trusting in His Word, and just simply relying on that. And so that's what we want for people. We're not here for any other reason.
That's it.
I know we're out of time. Theron, do you have anything you want to share before we close it up?
Go ahead. You're good.
No, we're tell you what. I almost stopped what you said a while ago because I thought what you said was great. What if you could encourage people in this? What would you say to people? I'll let you kind of before I say. Just let the Bible speak. How do you want to close this? What do you think? Where do you want to see this thing go from here? What do you want to see people do? And how do you want to encourage people as we close this thing out?
I want to encourage people to remember the power of God. I want us to continue to understand that we too are powerful and not powerless when we are in Christ. And when we allow the Word of God to dwell in us richly, in our hearts and in our minds and in everything that we do, that we can affect the nation. We can affect, you know, and again, you said it starts with little things, that we should not be ashamed if we're praying with the person at the restaurant, if we're asking our neighbor over and over again to come and to visit or to have a Bible study. We need to make sure that we understand how powerful it is to be in agreement with one another in Christ and how that we can affect change like none other in the lives of people in this world. Mm-hmm. And if we can continue to grasp that with love and do it with joy, you know, like I enjoy telling others about Christ, it'll be just an effective thing and it'll be like a brush fire like never before. Mm-hmm. And you can just see God's word and power moving throughout and lives are being changed because of it. So let's not forget that.
All right, folks. We'll close it at that. Don't remember, just let your Bible speak. That's how we get this. Amen. Appreciate you all. Love you. And thank you for your time.